That's what I like to see, bullseyes every time. And you can do the same thing with Beyer Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Beyer Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Beyer Barrel specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at BeyerBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Now for something completely different.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Good evening, my friends. Welcome to the Tinker Shop on JMR. It's now Saturday evening, the 11th of January, 2014. Yes, welcome. Thank you for joining me tonight. I see it's mostly, the committee, the rest of the ladies, and looks like Raging Ray is out there, so I guess I'm not all here by myself tonight. Oh, what a week. And, wow, what the heck. I'll go ahead here. I think I'm going to do what I did last week and do myself a little bit of a rant tonight. This next week, I'm probably going to be changing over my internet provider. Got a email from Charter today. Found out that they're going to be, upping the cost for their services by about, a little over 50%. You know, up until now, I've been pretty lucky, only paying about $110, $111 bucks a month for them. And turns out that February is going to be a small increase, like they said, but that was just for because it's a partial month. As of March, they're going to be going to $170 a month. Needless to say, talk to those turkeys. This is unacceptable. And they were like, well. So, anyway, so I've been checking into some other possibilities. So, if any of you people have the services or are getting serviced by Charter, you might watch your bills this month because you might get a surprise on there. I don't know. When I was talking to some of the people a local phone company, we haven't had a landline here for years because I'd gotten irritated them at one point, and but they've since changed hands, and I just may be going back to them. And when I was talking to them tonight, they said, "Well, for providers in the area," I says, "Well, we used to have a local provider for cable TV here until Charter decided it was going to emulate the Borg, and so they assimilated them and added a diversity of the local network to their collective. Seems like these big boys." Well, actually, that's right. What's his name? Can't remember his first name. Alan. Mr. Alan, who owns Charter. He actually was a partner of the other guy who likes to Borg everything. A guy who goes by the name of Bill Gates. That seems to be their concept. Gee, I think the guys who wrote Star Trek, you know, was thinking of those two guys when they came up with the concept of the Borg. So, enough of that. I guess I've done my rant for the night. But like I said, you guys, if you got Charter, watch your bills this month. I don't know if it's just up in our area that they're playing games, but you know, or if it's overall. Just as a heads up, something to be watching out for. And let's see here. So, last week we were doing the, fire starting and fire starters. So let me do this. I'm going to go ahead here, and I'm going to put the link in the chat room here, so everybody would be able to just click on it to be able to go out to the website. So that is tinkers, tinkers_shop. And the tinker in there is capitalized. So I'll give you everybody a chance to get over there. And, of course, that'll take you to the home or the landing page for Tinker Shop. And once you're there, just go ahead and go down and click on the link for the fire starting and fire starters. And, okay, so let's see, kind of summary, I guess. Let's see, what time is it here? Okay, 9 past. So we got a few minutes here where I can kind of summarize what we talked about last week, and maybe throw a commercial or two in there. And then we can go ahead at that point and get into the new stuff for this week. And because actually what I'm going to summarize first, it's about tinders. Remember I was saying that, for fire starting, you need to have something to catch your spark when you're lighting a fire. And with the fire starters, we're going to be talking about the ones that we're going to be talking about tonight mainly, and with my show and tell here, they use dryer lint. But you can actually use other things in place of the dryer lint, if you don't have access to it. Dried grasses can be wadded up and put into the areas in there. Again, the bark scraps. Again, if you can crumble them up, the wood scraps and scrapings, or sawdust. Sawdust works well. All of these can be used in fire starters. Let's see here. Also, another thing that can be used is shredded paper. If you shred up any mail or sensitive documents you've got, again, you could actually use that as well in fire starters. Just basically it'd be a case of crumpling them up and doing it. So, let's see, I'm trying to think if there was any other things we had that we talked about as possibilities. Ah, yes, I didn't have it here on the page, but there's a lot of other, I guess you could say, natural products that could be used as tinders. If one can find extremely dry pine needles that will work. See the fluff from cattails. If you break open the cattails themselves, that fluff that's in there is extremely light and, again, will work. And then, let's see, I'm trying to think what the other thing is called. Milkweed. There we go. Some people also call it butterfly weed. It's the plants that the monarch butterflies like to feed on. Obviously, this time of year, you're not going to find it. Spring of the year, you won't find it, but late summer and into the fall, it's available. Like I said, all these things can be used for tinder for fire starting. And actually, the cattail fluff and the milkweed, again, I had mentioned here about using lint in, you know, a traveler survival kit. Something else that can be, you know, carried with one. Stuff is extremely light. You can pack it down into a small area. And so it's not going to be a burden to carry. So it's, you know, it's one of the things to keep in mind. Okay, so now, I guess, like I said, that was just kind of a brief review of our tinders. I know I could have probably gone more into detail, but I'm not sure how long the rest of this is going to go. So let's go ahead and move down to the next section on this page. And in here, it's just basically titled Homemade Fire Starters. But obviously, before we get into that, I'm going to kind of talk about, setting up your work area. Because what we're going to be dealing with here is, you know, like I said, for making fire starters, going to be talking about, you know, melting your wax and the container or the mold that you're going to be putting it in. So first thing you got to think about is your work area. And on here, you get the first picture in here. This is an old style gas, I guess you could say gas stove or gas burner. This particular one dates from probably, I'd say, the late 19-teens or the 1920s. And this was originally designed to work on what they called city gas, which was just basically the biogas that a lot of cities produced. Other things that they produced city gas from was gasification of coal or charcoal. And there's a lot of ways that they produce gas for use in the cities. This particular one I picked up at a rummage sale. Somebody had it there, and it just asked very few dollars for it. And it did take a little rework. I did use it for a couple of years until I realized that I was actually getting gas leakage around the control knob. And on this particular one, if you look at this kind of close, you'll see that on the front of this stove, you'll see two little red things there. Well, that's actually a modern ball valve that I got. The original ones were, a cone valve. It was, the way it was assembled, it was drilled out in almost a cone shape, and then the gas valve body was another cone that would basically set down into the original, and it was held with a screw and a spring to give it tension. Unfortunately, those things, after close to 100 years worth of use, had basically worn out. It was just old brass fittings, just with a held together with a spring tension, and I would say at some point it had gotten a little bit of corrosion there, and they actually started, when the valves would be turned off and on, it cut little grooves in the brass, which, well, the little grooves in the brass just don't seal right. And I actually had a fire start one time out of the valve itself. So when I rebuilt them, I took both the existing valves off and replaced them with a modern ball valve. Took a little bit of tinkering with it, but then again, as you all know, I'm known as the tinker. And what it was actually, it was just an 1/8-inch pipe valve. And these things are actually, these units, these stove units, are actually still around. You can find them at antique shops, and like I said, rummage sales, garage sales, and whatnot. And I would say to rejuvenate that and get it back to, you know, basically safe operation, it was probably, oh, let's see, I'd say about $20 at most, because I had to, you know, take the old valves off and then get some fancy couplings to reuse the original pipes. When something like that's done, you need to use a Teflon tape. You know, you want to use a gas, you know, for, well, like natural gas type Teflon tape. The white stuff will work, but it's just not quite the same as the yellow stuff. The yellow Teflon tape is what you use for natural gas or propane. Like I said, basically reused everything except the valves. The piping you can see on there is original as well. Over on the left-hand side, there's also another valve that we put on just as an extra safety. And at that valve, there's a reinforced LP gas tank hose that runs over to a 20-pound LP cylinder. So when you come right down to it, both those burners each have three ways of shutting it off. Very important. You know, with gas, you can never be too careful. Okay, a little bit more about the work surface here. What that's sitting on is actually, I picked up a shop cart. And the shop cart was reworked, so I have a complete metal surface. Of course, doesn't have to be a metal surface. You know, a person could always use ceramic tiles underneath a burner like this, but you just definitely don't want to be having it put onto wood, because being a gas stove with an open flame like that, there's nothing in between it and the surface it's sitting on. You know, you always have to remember, fire can be our friend, but if we don't treat it right and watch out for it, it can turn mighty nasty or mighty ugly really quick. So like I said, this is on a rolling cart. And let's see, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I need to mention on this one. For lighting. When one does finally, you know, light a gas stove like this, you don't want to be using a stick match. because when they light up, when you start putting the gas in, it comes out quick. Best bet for something like this is something like one of the long reach, like grill starter lighters, you know, butane lighter thing. One can also use the long, you know, like the one foot long safety matches that some people use for lighting wood burners or fireplaces. And actually, another thing that's I've used sometimes on this and also on my gas forge is I actually have a propane cylinder, you know, the small 1-pound propane cylinder with the burner head on. So, you know, obviously you need to have your main gas tank turned on. You make sure both your little burner valves are turned to the off position. Open up your mainline valve there, and then just slowly, really slowly crack your burner that you're going to be lighting. And then you go ahead and light it with, you know, one of these other things I'd mentioned. Okay, so let's see here. Next thing to do for work surface. That second picture down, you'll see a couple, what looks like a couple boards or a couple of pieces of wood next to the burner. And that's actually what they are, two pieces of wood. Those are about 1 inch thick boards. And the reason I use those next to the whole burner assembly, I know, like I said, you know, about having wood underneath it, you don't want to have it. In this case, I use the wood to one side. Reason for that is a metal cart or whatever. You could you know, dribble wax on the surface, and it can kind of make a mess out of it. I use the wood here just to have a surface where I can actually recycle any wax that I spill or waste. Again, I'm constantly recycling stuff, so that way, I try and make the most out of everything. If I can, well, there's the old reuse, recycle, and Tinkerbell. What's the other one? The three R's. Reduce, yes. There we go. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. Because if we all do that, then we can make progress in, you know, cutting our costs. Okay, so let's see. It looks like it's almost 25 after, so why don't I do this? I'm going to drop a couple little things in here so I can just kind of stand up, move around, and let my brain relax a little bit here. So I think what I'm going to do here, just for fun, I'm gonna have a little fun here. Last night I'd mentioned that there's the idea of possibly doing some stuff with some old shows, but here's a couple little old-fashioned commercials I think you might get a kick out of. So back in just, let's see here, what is it? About 2 minutes, so enjoy.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires, and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Waiter! Waiter! Bill, did you ever see such poor service? I'm going to call a manager.
Take it easy, Walt. What's mostly wrong is your grout.
I'm sorry, Phil, but my digestion is so upset.
What you may need for your poor digestion is something that works after nature's own order. Try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Good advice. When your digestion is upset and you feel headachy and irritable, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. You see, each day, nature normally produces about 2 pints of a vital digestive juice to help digest your food. If nature fails, your food may remain undigested, leaving you headachy and irritable. To feel cheerful and happy again, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. They increase the flow of this vital digestive juice quickly, often in as little as 30 minutes, and you're on the road to feeling better. Don't depend on artificial aids to counteract indigestion when Carter's Little Liver Pills aid digestion after nature's own order. Take Carter's Little Liver Pills as directed. Get them at any drugstore, only 25 cents.
Okay. I figured I'd give you guys a little bit of a treat here. You know, like I said, a couple of the really, really old-style commercials. And, well, after my talking about, you know, cleaning up your work area and whatnot, I just couldn't resist it. I had to put that in there. I was going to do a regular GMR commercial, but I'll save those for in a little bit. So, like I said, kind of going back to our page here. Yeah, those boards that I had, like I mentioned, I know that, like I said, they're wood, but they give a surface that once you've been using them a little bit, your molds or the egg cartons aren't going to slide on them. On metal, they can slide around, and it's just, I prefer to use something that isn't going to be as slippery a surface, but also one that I can clean and reuse. So now that we got our work surfaces kind of covered, we'll go ahead and move down here a little bit. Next picture we have here. Okay, so let's see. I think I had here about, you know, next we need to gather our materials together. This first picture here, that's just a, oh, what do you call it? You know, the plastic grocery bags. And since we're lucky enough to have a dryer here, it's an electric dryer, not a gas dryer, but on dryers, they all have a lint filter. And so what this is we just save our lint from the dryer, and we just, you know, stuff it in plastic bags until it gets full. And that's, well, let's see, what would that be? Dryer bag would be, probably about 10 or 12 inches high by, when they're tied shut, again, they're about a foot high, so a little less than a cubic foot of lint, you know, when it's all poofed up. Very useful to have. You know, like I said, you know, very light, but lights up very easily. Next picture down here, it's a couple of different shots of some egg cartons. These are the, what would you call them, paper or cardboard egg cartons. That's what you want to use. You don't want to use the plastic ones, which is just basically foamed styrofoam. That foam styrofoam is pretty dirty. And, you know, so, and it stinks, too. You think lint and hair stinks when it burns? Styrofoam's worse. And plus, styrofoam, actually, you're not going to get that much from it, but, you know, you're going to get, bad outgassing from them. The smoke is not good for you. The way the egg cartons are prepped, you just basically carefully tear off the top of it, and you keep the lower portion where all the eggs sit in. The top, like I said, you could actually, if you wanted to, you could actually shred that up by hand to put it into the cavities. You know, that works. But for now, we'll just imagine you set the tops to the side, and you basically get yourself a stack of egg cartons, you know, the lower half of them. Those are going to be our mold or our form for making the fire starters. And by the way, kind of a segue here. These are actually what I use here for our wood stove, our wood burner. And I've also used them in starting fires out in our fire pit, or our, that's what we call it. It's actually a three-sided cement block structure to, you know, contain any bonfires or whatever we have. But, and actually, That same structure I was talking about, three-sided cement block thing, that's what I use to put my charcoal burner in. And again, I've used these fire starters for lighting that up as well. So it's kind of, you know, reusing and, you know, reducing our footprint. We try and, you know, do as much as we can to make multi-use objects. So let's see here. I'm trying to think here. Do I have any here? Yes, quantities. When I melt my wax up, I use, I think it's about a quart and a half or 2 quart old aluminum pan. After I finally got it through my head that aluminum wasn't the greatest thing to be cooking in, retired most of our aluminum pans. I think we've got probably one left around this place, but that's just a big skillet, you know, that we still have around. But anyhow, like I said, with a single pan of hot wax, like I said, about a quart and a half worth of hot wax, you need about 12 egg cartons. So that would give you, 12 times 12, 144. 144 fire starters, individual ones. Now, let's see here. Next step here. Okay, yep. Going to be talking about filling our molds. Because that's what I'm going to start calling it. I'm going to refer to the lower portions of the egg cartons as molds. Because that's basically what we're going to use them for. Okay, so you lay yourself out a few of the egg carton bottoms. You get your bag of lint, open it up. And what you'll want to do when you, you know, grab a handful of it off, it's almost like making, what would you call it? I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. When you make cookies, there's some cookies that you can make, like a drop cookie or whatever, where the dough is pretty darn solid, where you just basically break off a chunk of the dough and kind of roughly make a ball out of it. Well, you basically want to do the same thing with the lint. You know, thumb and your first two fingers, just kind of grab a chunk of it off. And what you do is just kind of ball it up a little bit, shove it into one of the cavities on your molds. And you'll want to go ahead and just go through and just, you know, each one of the cartons, you go ahead and just fill them up. And what you want to do is when you're pushing this lint into the cavity of your mold, you don't want it to be in there really loose, but obviously you don't want to have it packed in there solid as a rock either. It's just where it's a good firm filling of it. And what you want to do is just fill it up till it's just about up to the top of the opening. Of course, you're going to have, in an egg carton, you're going to have like three little posts that are sticking up. Those are good for reference points. But what you do is you go through, you fill up all the cavities in your cartons. And let's see, I've got, six of them there. And again, it's probably kind of hard to see. But what you have there is basically they're just filled up and, you know, pushed in by hand, so it's just a good snug fit. And what you're going to want to do is, like I said, for a good sized pan of wax like this, you know, which is like, you know, quart and a half worth of wax, you'll want to have 12 molds or 12 egg carton bottoms. So go ahead and what you want to do is just go ahead and fill up, like I said, 12 of those to start with. Just stack them up, you know, set them off to the side to where you can reach them easily. And then at that point, let's see here, we got 9:35 already, past the station break point. So, let's see here, where are we? Well, tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and drop a couple commercials in here. You know, real commercials this time instead of, you know, old-timey ones. So I'm going to go ahead and drop a couple commercials in here quick. We'll get them played that way we can identify the station here, and then we'll go on from there. So please enjoy, and we'll be back in, about a minute and a half or 2 minutes. So here.
2 years ago, I uttered the phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaultfla.com.
There are a few things life has to offer that is the great of other risks. Good friends, good food, and a premium handmade cigar from F.K. Christian Pipe Company. All Just Measures Radio listeners get 10% off all singles and 15% off all boxes. And when you order a box, you will also get one of Natty's Selects free. That's right, with every box purchased, you get one of my hand-picked favorites along with 15%. This is a deal that cannot be beat. You can call or email Stacy via the link at Just Measures Radio or JustMeasuresCS.com. F.K. Christen, your premium cigar company. And yes, each one is rolled on the thighs of virgins south of the border.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the second commercial decided it didn't want to run. So here we are. We're back. My apologies for the dead air there. And welcome to those who have joined into the chat room here since I last took a peek. Oh, hi, Concrete, and I see you're here now. And Doc, welcome. And let's see, who else here? Oh, Bacon Dude, welcome. Glad you could join us tonight. Hopefully you'll become a permanent fixture here just like the rest of us are. So, okay, now I guess I better get back here to where I was. Okay, next step. Now that we've got our molds filled, and let's see here, Tinkerbell, why don't you go ahead and put the web page in here again, because I'm not sure if everybody got that to start with. And it's great having someone to act as a co-host or co-producer here. I can put the dirty work on her. Okay, so now that we've got our work area set up and our molds made, the next thing we're going to have to think about is our wax. Now, this next picture here, it doesn't seem to be too much in there, but that's because I used a lot of it out of that bucket. What I do, again, like I said, is I go around to rummage sales, garage sales. There's a couple thrift stores in our area who've gotten used to me, and they actually save the busted candles that get given to them that are half burned down, and, you know, just basically the junk wax that they can't use, and I've asked them for it, and I've got places that actually find wax for me. It's fantastic. So, you know, and used candles, paraffin, beeswax, whatever. Obviously, if it's plain wax, I have a tendency of kind of setting that to the side in case I ever want to make candles as well. But the partially burned ones that are I refer to them as stinkums, because I really don't care for scented candles. They just kind of, after a while, they just kind of reek. But they're useful for making fire starters. What I do, if you look at the next picture down, that's that pan that I talked about. I believe, like I said, it's about a quart and a half, 2-quart aluminum pan. Aluminum's pretty good for this because, you know, this spreads the heat rapidly. You don't get hot spots in the bottom of the pan. and so it can melt wax relatively quickly in there. And what I do is I take that pan, and one moment here, got a... There. I'm back. This is getting a bit of a dry throat. Anyway, what I do is I take, you know, the bits and pieces of the busted up wax, and I just basically loosely pack them down into the pan. I do not, I repeat, I do not let wax be above the level edge of the pan, just in case they shift. I don't want wax melting down the side of the pan, because I have going to have an open flame underneath there. Open flames and wax, bad combination. One suggestion I would have is that if you use this sort of setup like I've got, heating wax over an open fire, is have some sort of lid or a piece of flat metal or something that you can cover the pan with in case it lights up. Burning wax is no big deal if you don't spill it. It burns, but it's not a violent fire. Now, if you had a pan of gasoline or a pan of kerosene or something, and it lights, then you got problems, I'll grant you. But wax is not that bad if it doesn't get spilled. You just have to be aware of the fact that it's going to be hot, and that you got to be careful in covering it. If it does light up on you, turn your fire source off down below and leave it covered for, you know, a minute or two, and it's going to be, the fire will go out in there. So, next step down here, you'll see kind of a distant shot here. This is actually in my shop. I know, what do they call it, National Fire Codes. They really frown on using a natural gas or LP cylinder inside of a structure. Well, this because of the fact that if you get a leak in your gas cylinder or your hoses or your valves, and you're not aware of it, doggone garage can fill up with gas. And then if you turn on a light switch, or somebody walks in with a cigarette and drops it on the floor, it can get rather noisy. Natural gas, LP gas, will go boom if it's, you know, mixed it with air in the right proportions. But like I said, this particular time, this is out in my shop, and I actually had the doors open, so I had a good airflow. Plus, I always double-check all my fittings. Okay, so what I had done here, as you can see, the tank is, I'd say a good 8 foot away from the table, where the rolling cart that I have. And I had actually lit the fire under this, slid the pan over, and have it, you know, melting the wax. And that wax that's in there is probably about half melted. And what I generally do is while the wax is heating, melting, I'll go ahead and get myself some, you know, probably usually about anywhere from 4 to 5 of my egg carton molds ready. I'll get them all set up to the side on my boards. Yeah, and that's kind of what you can see down here in this next step, or this next photo. Oh. Okay, so what we do at this point is that wax definitely, once you have that fire lit under the wax and you start melting it, you do not want to leave the area. Again, like I said, fire can be our friend, but if we don't keep a strong eye on it, it's just like a big dog. You know, big dogs can be friendly, but if you let them take over, then you got problems. Same thing with fire. And when you're heating wax over a fire, you got to monitor it, because, you know, fire can be, well, fire's our friend, but it can also be a very bad enemy. Because with your wax, what you want to do when you're heating it up, again, this is Okay, practical advice, I guess. A lot of times people say, oh, wax, you got to be really careful with. You do. And they also say that you don't want to let it start smoking. Well, this is the trick with making fire starters. You have to heat the wax up to just to the smoking point. The way I recommend doing that is once that wax is mostly melted in your pan, I turn the heat down, not up, I turn it down, and I let it continue to warm slowly until it just hits the smoking point. Not heavy smoking, just starting to, like when you're heating boiling water on the stove. You start getting bubblings in there and it'll start steaming good. Well, same sort of thing. When the wax looks like it's starting to steam, just very faint tendrils. That's at the point you want to turn your heat off. Because that's probably the optimum or the best temperature for pouring or ladling out your wax into your mold. So let's do this. We'll go down to the next step here. This is, again, just a picture of the ladle I used. It's just a lightweight soup ladle that I modified very slightly. I just squished the ladle just a little bit to make those side pouring lips a little bit sharper, because I want to be able to control the wax flow. And what we do is we just grab, like I said, we've got our fire turned off at this point. I just slide the pan over just a little bit to get it a little bit closer to the work area. And I start dipping out ladlefuls of the hot wax. And I basically start at one end of the carton and work my way down the length of it. And when you pour that wax in, just basically drizzling it in fairly lightly, it's going to smoke a little bit and it's going to foam up. Almost like a... let's see here, how to put it. If you have, say, baking soda, and you throw a little bit of vinegar on top, it'll foam up. It's going to look like that. And what's happening is, when it's foaming up like that, any moisture that's in the lint, and it's going to have moisture, because lint draws moisture, it's cotton and everything else. But that hot wax, when it foams up like that, that means that that is hot enough to vaporize any moisture that's in that cotton or the lint. And that basically foams up and then hardens in each little separate division of the egg carton or your mold. And basically what you do is you just work your way along. I'll usually get one good row or, good six of them and be starting back. So I'll get six or eight cavities where I can fill from each dipper full. And I just basically set up a couple of the molds at a time and just work my way across. Dip and foam it up. And it doesn't take a lot of wax, but as long as it's hot like that, like I said, it foams up and it's basically all you need. Tinkerbell told me here that there was a question about how much wax you put in there or how much it penetrates through. Again, it's kind of a function of how hot the wax is. When it's good and hot like that, it foams up. And so you're not dumping that much wax in. Yes, you'll get some penetration or where it soaks into the cardboard that the carton is or the paper that the egg carton is made out of. But usually it won't be the whole thing that's, wax soaked. And so it's... basically what you're getting is like a really good wick. So, and if the wax gets too cold, it's not going to foam up as much, so it's just going to come through and soak into the cardboard below. So it's, like I said, optimum wise, If it foams, you're in really good shape. So, let's see here. Moving on down a little bit more here. Okay. Yeah, this next picture, you can see that I've got five, you know, egg carton bottoms that were, that are all filled. And once I get all, you know, like I said, four or five of them I lay out. Once I get them filled, I move them over onto a counter space or someplace where I can just stack them up to let them cool. And generally, what I do is I stagger my stacks. Remember I said there's like the three little pillars that are coming up? This is where these come in. When I stagger the stacking, like this particular pitcher's, I did like three side by side, and then I did two crosswise, and then the next layer was three more. This helps keep them separated, because then the molds aren't going to stick together. You know, when they're stacked up like that, they're basically high points to lowest points, and you get some airflow around them. And you know what you do at this point is basically, you know, grab your next few, lay them out, and if your wax is still hot enough, you continue on. If the wax isn't hot enough anymore, because you'll know when you grab a dipper full and start putting it in, if it doesn't foam, then it's probably a good idea to just go ahead and relight your fire, slide your pan back over, and heat it up somewhat. Of course, once you've done this, you know, a couple times, you'll find that you'll be able to get the stuff, you know, get your molds filled, slid across, and, you know, get the new empty ones spread out and filled. So, like I said, usually you get about 12 half cartons for about a pan of wax, which is, like I said, about a quart and a half. And let's see here. What do we got here? Oh, 9:54 already. Yeah, this hour has gone fast. Okay, so let me do this. Okay, I talked about stacking them up here for cooling. And generally what happens, it takes, oh, I'd say, once you get them all poured, you know, obviously this time of year, if a shop's cool or the area where you're working is cool, it, you know, probably maybe an hour or 2 hours, and those things are going to be about as hard as you're ever going to need them. And let me say this. You do not, repeat, do not want to do this in a house. Because, like I said, that wax, when you heat it up to where it's smoking, it's vaporizing. Oh, excuse me. Had a cough there. Yeah. Vaporized wax is not good. You don't want that all over the inside of your house. Plus, like I said, you know, it can be a fire hazard. So you just, you know, you're better off doing it outside. If nothing else, if you got a picnic table, you know, do it on a picnic table. And, like I said, you know, in cooler weather, you know, winter time like this, takes, you know, just a couple hours for them to completely, you know, basically the wax freezes. So, and once that's done, then they're ready for however you want to continue processing. Next picture down here, this is just a picture of one of the series of the ones that I made up above. And you can see that it's, the egg carton itself is not that totally soaked. And these can be broken off. You know, you can break them off, you know, two at a time with it, or you can break it off two at a time and then break them into singletons. Most of the time when I'm lighting a fire around here, I just grab a pair of them, and that's usually enough to get a fire started. And then the very last picture on this on the page here, this is just a, that's the basket that sits behind my wood burner. You know, it's just, you know, what, 14 inches long, 10 inches wide, you know, 9 inches high. But that's just, you know, for the pallets, I guess you want to call them, the fire starter blocks that I made. And it goes fairly quick. It's a fairly easy project. These things are waterproof. If you do ever do make some, they're really light. You can always throw a couple of them into your go bag or your car emergency bag. You know, they last forever if you don't light them. And you can light some pretty damp wood with it. I'm just going to... Yeah. Okay, one more thought here, and then I'll probably have to do a commercial and slide on out for the evening. Tonight we were just basically, I was talking about how to use the, you know, the half of egg cartons for making fire starters. And Tinkerbell told me, somebody asked if it was okay to use planting pots or whatever. Well, actually, these egg cartons, again, most people don't think of it, but you can actually use egg cartons as starter pots for getting your plants started for the spring. Because these things, when they do get wet, you know, straight from the egg factory. Ha, 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 ha. I know, eggs don't come from factories. They get processed and clean there. Chickens make them, but from the processing plant where they, you know, clean and pack the eggs, most of these egg cartons are recycled newspaper product. And so they're a biodegradable product. So what you can do, get seeds started. You go ahead and use some, you know, planting mix if you use planting mix. If you use peat moss or dirt or perlite or a mix of that, you can go ahead and just basically fill those little cells up, just like we talked about filling them up with lint to make fire starters. You can take those same little cells, pack them with your starter mix for your plants, plant your seeds in there, and put them on a cookie sheet or a tray or in a box that's lined with tin foil, and they make a little very good little mini greenhouse for starting your plants for the spring season. So now, okay. We are at 9:59, so I think perhaps I should probably start moving on out. So I'm going to go ahead here and play a little traveling music here. We'll call it that. So again, thank you very much for joining me here tonight in the Tinker Shop. And like I said, you know, for the archival purposes here, this is the 11th of January of 2014, and you've been listening to Just Measures Radio. So again, thank you very much. Have a very blessed and a very good week. And I'm hoping, can't guarantee it, but I'm hoping that I will be able to show you the pictures and the plans for making a potato planter this next week. If I don't have those drawings as such all done, then I'll have to go ahead and just talk about other gardening tools. So, take care. Have a good week. And again, thank you. Goodbye.